Democratic candidate for governor J.B. Pritzker is in Bloomington for another stop at the Laborers Local 362 Hall, the same place he stopped in August to pick up a big union endorsement. Before that event, Pritzker joins us during Sound Ideas to talk about his early frontrunner status in the Democratic race to presumably take on Governor Bruce Rauner. Pritzker is the co-founder and managing partner of the Pritzker Group, a private investment firm with offices in Chicago and Los Angeles. He's an entrepreneur, investor, and philanthropist. Forbes puts his wealth at $3.4 billion. J.B., thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Glad to be here.
Why do you want to be governor?
Well, everything that I care about, I think everything that we as Illinoisans care about, is under siege by Bruce Rauner and his partner in Washington, Donald Trump. You know, I've worked for so many years to expand school breakfast across the state for kids in low-income school districts and to make sure that kids were getting early childhood education, particularly at-risk kids. I helped to build a museum that teaches kids to fight bigotry and hatred and intolerance, and I've created a lot of jobs in a nonprofit small business incubator called 1871, not to mention the work that I've done to build my own business and create thousands of jobs there. All of those things, frankly, under the current leadership in Springfield and Washington, are being torn apart. You know, Donald Trump wants to wipe away school breakfasts and early childhood. Same thing with Bruce Rauner. You know, we have to make a change in this state and put Springfield back on the side of working families.
Was there a trigger for you, something that happened in the state or on the national level that said, I'm going to move from the private sector to the public sector, I want to be governor?
Well, yes, but let me be clear that I've spent many, many years doing public service, both in government and in the private sector. You know, I ran the Illinois Human Rights Commission, which is the state's civil rights court. I worked in Washington on Capitol Hill for two United States senators, including our senior senator at the time, Alan Dixon. And then as a private citizen, you know, just making sure that we're focusing on issues, getting bills passed, like expanding those school breakfasts and early childhood. In all of those ways, I've been engaged in public service. So when you talk about why would you run now, what's the trigger? Well, there's no doubt that we've now spent 2.5 years under a failed governor, and no jobs are getting created. Schools are getting worse. They're not being funded properly. Healthcare is being taken away at the federal level, and nobody's protecting it at the state level. These are the things that trigger me, and frankly, the reasons why I decided to jump in this race.
You're spending a lot of your own money on the campaign. The Chicago Tribune reported in June that the amount is over $14 million. You've had some strong labor support, early labor support. Are labor unions supporting you in part because they can use their money to then fund other races?
Well, I think labor unions chose to support me because I've stood with working families for my whole life. You know, my parents were social and economic justice advocates. They were teaching us that at a very young age, and I was walking door to door for progressive Democratic candidates with my mother when I was just a little kid, frankly. When I was 11 years old, I started knocking on doors, licking envelopes and stamps back when you did that, even younger than that. So I think that labor unions have seen that I've worked well for, you know, on the national level, helping candidates and helping make sure that we're passing bills that are good for those families. And then, you know, I've been a good employer. I have the endorsement of the labor unions that represent the workers at our places here in Illinois. And I've got a good relationship. I think they also think that I have a good chance of winning. And I think those things together led them to make an endorsement in June. Although, just to be clear, there are 23 individual labor unions all across the state so far that have endorsed me, and many others that have yet to make an endorsement of anybody. But there are no other candidates that have received any union endorsement.
Strong early support from labor. Mm-hmm. They will have some more money, though, if they're not giving you that money. What are some important races you think their money might do good? What are some downstate races or races across Illinois for offices that might even help you do your job better if you're elected?
Well, to be clear, it's not just about money. We have to build up the infrastructure of the Democratic Party.
That doesn't take money?
But remember, the Republicans tend to run their elections with just money. We Democrats have always been the ones who are knocking on doors, who are phone banking, who are getting our voters out to vote. That's what what we do best. And unfortunately, we've let that sort of fall apart in the state of Illinois. So I believe that what the labor unions are doing this year is actually rebuilding that infrastructure, as am I as a candidate. So who will they be helping? Well, they'll be helping people that will share my vision for the state, you know, putting Springfield on the side of working families. What does that mean? The kitchen table issues that really matter to people. Can we, you know, bring down health care costs for middle class families and help people who are striving to get to the middle class be able to afford health care? And I put out a plan for doing just that. Job creation. You know, we're in the bottom third of jobs. Job growth across the United States. Here in Illinois, we're in the bottom third. 0.5% job growth last year. I mean, that's just abysmal. We should be doing a lot better. And then, of course, education. There's an awful lot to do there.
In fact, you're touting a 5-point plan for creating jobs in Illinois, focused on infrastructure, supporting small businesses and startups, investing in higher education, among other things. How will your jobs plan impact Central Illinois, do you think?
Well, so remember that here in Central Illinois, much of the industry has been diminished. The traditional job creators are not growing, and no one at the state level has really stepped up to try to create new jobs in Central Illinois or in Southern Illinois either. And so trying to focus on that, I believe that we need to focus on the real job creators in this state. 2/3 of all the jobs that get created are small businesses. And they're small businesses that get started up or small businesses that grow. But nobody seems to stand on the side of those startup and small businesses. State government, county government, city government, there really isn't anybody standing up for them. And they don't have lobbyists to take to Springfield. So as governor, I want to be a governor who stands up for small business. That's 2/3 of the jobs. We also need to attract big businesses to Illinois. And you can't do that when you've got a governor who badmouths the state every day. Not just here in Illinois and in the press here in Illinois, but he does that apparently when he goes on trade missions. He went to Asia and did it, and now he's about to go on a kind of a rainbow tour like Evita Perón, and he's going to put out, you know, more bad-mouthing of the state of Illinois, and we should be out there marketing the state. Listen, we have the best, most educated, most dedicated workforce in the nation. That's why people want to be in Illinois. That's why companies should come to Illinois. We should be marketing that fact, and you need someone who's going to care about getting that message out. I'll be the state's best chief marketing
officer.
Let's
dig into that for just a moment, because it is no secret that Governor Reiner often shares his dour view of the Illinois economy, blames the state government, poor business climate. Some in his own administration are sharing a different message about Illinois' economy, that it's healthy, growing with declining unemployment. How would you characterize the state of Illinois' economy statewide?
Well, we have challenges in this state. There's no doubt about it. And I don't mean to diminish any of that. But we should also recognize what the good things are that the state's doing. And again, it's good that the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity says good things about the state. That's a good, positive thing. But then when the head of it all, when the executive of the state is out there saying bad things about Illinois to everybody that might want to create a job or everybody that might want to move a job to Illinois, that's not helping at all. And so I'm not suggesting that everybody in government should go, or that everybody in government's got the message wrong. I'm suggesting it's the governor that's got to go.
Opponent Daniel Biss is pushing a property tax and income tax reform package to also help turn the state around. What do you think of the flat tax rate in Illinois, and should wealthy people pay a higher rate?
Absolutely. We need a progressive income tax in this state. We need to protect middle class families and those striving to get to the middle class, and ask those who are most able to pay a higher rate. Remember, our flat tax system is antiquated, outdated. We're one of the few states in the United States with one. We need to go to a progressive graduated income tax system, just like most states that have an income tax system, and just like the federal government.
How will Governor Pritzker get that through the General Assembly?
Well, the most important thing we need to do is to run and win on that issue, because you've got to have the voters, you know, and the people of Illinois behind it. And I believe that I will win with that as a principal important issue. Then you've got to go get, you know, as you know, a supermajority of the House and the Senate to pass an amendment to our Constitution, you know, this flat tax was put in 1970. It needs to be removed because it's so antiquated. I believe we can convince enough of the legislators to go along, but we also need to elect legislators this cycle who agree with a progressive income tax. And then, remember, one of the big things that it'll allow us to do, having a progressive income tax, pay for our schools, which allows us to reduce the incredibly high property tax burden that's sitting on most people in Illinois that own property.
How would a Governor Pritzker change things here at Illinois State University for students, for its employees?
The biggest challenge that Bruce Rauner brought in with his governorship is he apparently doesn't think it's important to balance the budget of the state. He never, in fact, introduced a balanced budget, even though it's constitutionally required. Why do I mention that with regard to Illinois State? Because it was the fact of having no budget for 2 years and 6 days that allowed the, you know, this decimation to occur across our state universities. We lost faculty. We've lost MAP grants and students who either weren't funded with their MAP grants or were so afraid that MAP grants were going to go away that they just ended up leaving the state. And don't forget, when you set a tone like that, all the prospective students in high school and their parents who are looking at, well, where should you think about going to college, are saying to themselves, well, you know, Illinois isn't a sure bet. I think I'll go out of the state. And if they do that, by the way, 70% of them don't come back to the state. And those are our best economic resources. And furthermore, those are our kids.
ISU administrators get those calls. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy with Democratic candidate for Governor J.B. Pritzker, who's in Bloomington today for an appearance at a union hall. The race for governor seems preoccupied with someone who's not even running, Speaker Mike Madigan. What's your message to Democratic primary voters who might be concerned about Madigan's long tenure as speaker, and they see you not exactly distancing yourself from him?
Well, I'm an independent progressive leader. I've been that way my whole life. I'm not going to change when I become governor. And there will be things that I agree with the speaker on and things that I disagree with the speaker on. For example, I'm in favor of independently drawn legislative maps in the state of Illinois. I'm pretty sure that the speaker doesn't agree with me on that. And I'm in favor of leadership term limits so that the speaker and the president of the Senate can't serve, you know, unending terms. So we've got to have limits on that. I'm pretty sure that the speaker disagrees with me about that. And, you know, the thing I want to say is that unlike Governor Rauner, when I go to Springfield, I'll work with the speaker, whoever that may be, by the way, because it isn't guaranteed who it's going to be. I'll work with the speaker on the things that I think are good for the people of Illinois, but I won't work for the speaker. And the only people I'm going to work for are the people of Illinois.
You were recently endorsed by the state's Democratic County Chairman, which includes top local Democratic Party officials from around the state. Isn't it too early for a group like that to be weighing in?
You know, it's funny you say that.
Because we're still in a primary.
We are in a primary, but they can endorse in a primary. They have many times, in fact. You know, it's funny. People mention this kind of the you know, whether it's early or where we are in the cycle. This cycle started much earlier than almost any other cycle I can remember. In fact, I didn't really think I would be a candidate here if I became a candidate as I was thinking about it back in December and January. I didn't think you'd have to make a decision really until the summer, because that's usually when candidates do. But you know what happened? The first candidate announced in December of 2016. That's like a month after the last election had ended. And then the second candidate, and that was Chris Kennedy, he announced in February.
Be much of a surprise, though, based on what was going on in the state.
What, that he announced or that they announced?
That the early announcements.
I don't know. Early announcements. I mean, those seem very early to me. All I can say is that it was surprising to me. And so February somebody announced, March somebody announced. I looked at it and said, my goodness, this cycle is really starting so early and too fast. But I better, you know, if I'm thinking about it, I better make a decision. And I ended up announcing in April. And the important thing about this is from April till now, I mean, this is almost 7 months, six and a half months that I've been a candidate, 7.5, 8.5 for other candidates. It's a long time, I think, for the county chairs to evaluate the candidates. And they've met all of the candidates that are running. And, you know, I'm very proud that I won the support of a majority, strong majority, in fact, of those county chairs.
One of those early candidates, Chicago Alderman Amaya Pawar, recently dropped out of the Democratic race for governor, citing the inability to raise enough money to stay viable. What did you think of his candidacy and his remarks on the state of campaign financing?
You know, I admire Alderman Amaya Pawar. He did such a great job, and he did precisely what he said he was going to do from the beginning of the campaign, which was he felt strongly that he wanted to inject important issues into the race to fight for, you know, racial equity, to fight for class equity, to make sure that we're, you know, standing up for the communities that have been forgotten around the state, to make sure that we're, you know, standing on the side of working people in the state. Those are all issues that he was very vocal about. And honestly, I enjoyed being on the campaign trail with him because he was so issue focused. And so I'm sorry that he's dropped out, because I think, you know, he was a good candidate. I hope he pursues more public service in his life. But those are all issues that I'm carrying in my campaign, too.
I was going to say, what did you learn from him?
Yeah. And I think I was articulating them well, but I think he's such a terrific guy. And I think he did a great job, too. All I can say is, you know, I'm sorry that he left the race. Now, as for the comments that he made about not being able to raise enough money, you know, we're all out here, you know, fighting to get our message out. And part of that, unfortunately, is being able to communicate in whatever ways you can. I'm here speaking to you today because I want to get my message out to people.
And we want our listeners to hear that message.
Indeed. And I think you guys are doing a great job on that. I'm just saying, you know, I believe that it's too bad that he isn't still in the race. But I've been out there sending a positive message about what it is that I stand for, what I've done in my life, which is important, I think, for people to know, because what you've done is an indicator. You know, the accomplishments for the people of Illinois that I've had are an indicator of my ability to go do that for people in Springfield. And that's the message that I'm carrying. I'm also talking about the failures of this current governor. But what I'm not doing is out there, you know, trashing my opponents in the Democratic primary, which I think is a bad idea, since we all need to pull together and beat Bruce Rauner.
How tiresome are questions about your wealth and whether that disqualifies you from being the Democratic nominee? Are you getting sick of those questions?
Well, they're certainly, you know, not a disqualifier. But the important thing for people to know is that this race isn't about money. It's about values. And that's what people should be determining when they look at the candidates. They should be asking, I think, the candidates, what were they doing when they weren't running for public office to make people's lives better? And what are their values? What do they care about? What is it that you believe that they're going to be able to do? Because one thing, you know, when you run for office, you say what it is that you're going to do for the state. But it's just like when you're applying for a job, you know, the best indicator of whether you can actually do the job that you're applying for is whether you've actually accomplished things in the past that indicate you could do the job. And so those are the things I think people ought to use to evaluate the candidate.
For some Democratic voters, though, the personal wealth of their nominee is a values issue. What do you say to them?
Well, I don't think it's an indicator of values. I think, you know, for me, you know, I've tried to be somebody who was a good employer. I've tried to do good public service during my life. I think, you know, standing up for working families, all those things are the best indicators of what kind of a governor I'll be. And how much money somebody has, whether it's a lot or a little, shouldn't be the indicator.
Governor Rauner is widely expected to be the Republican nominee to run for a second term. Have you thought about what happens if Rauner is not the nominee, if he's defeated?
I haven't thought much about that because nobody certain so far has decided to run against him in the primary. So I don't know about that. I mean, one thing I would say maybe to your last question and including Rauner in this, you know, it's interesting to me. You see that President Trump is a wealthy guy. And he's failing as president. You see that Governor Rauner is a wealthy guy, and he's failing as governor. And so it's certainly on people's minds, like, gee, you know, is somebody who's wealthy just not qualified to be governor? And I think the real question there is not, you know, are you qualified whether you have money or not? It's, do you have experience in government? Do you understand the difference between running a business and running government? And I do. I think I'm, you know, one of the few people in this race that's actually run an agency for the state government, that actually has worked in government. And the one thing I know is that as governor, you need to wake up every single day trying to raise wages in the state, trying to make workplaces safer, trying to help people get more and not less health care, you know, fighting for working families. That's what we need a governor to do.
Certainly a topic of discussion, the difference between running a business and running government. Mm-hmm. What is or what are a couple of those main differences, do you think?
Well, once again, you know, when you're running a business, your job is to, you know, start with at least breaking even in the business so you can keep the doors open, and then making a profit. You know, that's the goal of a business. In government, however, your job is to make people's lives better. Like the whole state of Illinois, all the residents of Illinois, it's your job to make their lives better every single day. And so, you know, thinking instead like Bruce Rauner, he thinks that, you know, if we lower people's wages and lower workplace safety, make it, you know, less expensive for businesses because of lowering workplace safety, that businesses will flock to Illinois and that'll be great for Illinois. Guess what? First of all, if that were all true, then why is Minnesota doing better than we are? Why is California, New York, so many other states doing so much better than we are at growing jobs and bringing businesses there? Second of all, I just don't think we should have a governor who's trying to lower people's wages. Third, I have created a lot of jobs, and I mean in a small business incubator where we created 7,000 good-paying jobs at 1871. Mm-hmm. In my own business, created thousands of jobs as well. And I know how to create jobs, and the most important thing to business people who want to create jobs is not the lowest tax rate or the lowest labor rate. The first thing that you want is stability. We don't have that in Illinois. We've got complete instability in state government. The second thing that you want is a highly educated, talented workforce. That's the most important thing in the 21st century. And, you know, we've got that here in Illinois, but you got to invest in it. That's why here at ISU and all our great universities, I mean, we can't follow the Bruce Rauner model where you're cutting back. You need to invest in it because that's our future.
You've been in Bloomington Normal a couple of times so far this campaign. What are you learning about this community?
Well, I have been here several times. I'd like to say even before, long before I was a candidate, I was coming here because my daughter was competing in the state championship for cross country, and a few times, in fact. So, you know, first, this is an amazing place. I must say that I've watched this community grow and change and improve over time. And I think that's been the dedication of many of your public servants here. It's also, I believe, an indication of the kind of entrepreneurial spirit that exists, that if we unleash it all across the state, we could really create a lot of jobs.
What role do downstate communities, counties like McLean, play in your campaign strategy?
Very important. From the very start, when I was even thinking about running, one thing I looked at was, you know, where are the areas of the state that people, frankly, have just forgotten that the elected officials just aren't doing enough for? And so that to me is, you know, the entire area that's, you know, outside of Cook and the Collar counties has been completely forgotten. And, you know, I love that, you know, here, Bruce Rauner, I laugh at the idea. Bruce Rauner wants to create, you know, this war as if Chicago is against the rest of the state and the rest of the state should be against Chicago. No, we're one state. You know, and that's something Amaya Pawar talked about, you know, one Illinois. We are one state, and that means that we've got to create jobs everywhere in this state. We've got to invest in education everywhere in the state, and that's what I'm going to do.
J.B. Pritzker is running for the Democratic nomination for Illinois governor. J.B., thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy.